$25-30 million. I even heard $40-50 million. So, you know, they have a lot of money to choose, so they can afford to have a lot of babies.
That's a good one. All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good one, but it's true.
Yes. Definitely. Bobby, you mentioned a while back that there have been no reactions yet from other news outlets that would like to interview from other countries, right?
Yeah, nothing, absolutely nothing, and I would almost bet there's still not going to be anything, you know. Because how many times have I asked to talk about this on your program, to get invited to other radio stations live anywhere in the world?
Yes, we talked about that previously.
All the time, and these programs go out on the internet. I know people all over the world are picking up these programs off the internet, but nobody wants me.
Not even in the internet? Did they ever try to contact you?
The internet, no, but I'm talking regular radio stations I want to be on live.
Yeah, of course, yes. But outside the radio stations, have there been some reactions that you have been receiving so far, let's say from the internet?
Yeah, there have been reactions. I'll tell you the truth, Bob. I don't trust the internet emails at all. You don't know who the hell is sending them.
Uh-huh.
I think they're almost all the enemy, the good ones and the bad ones. I think they're all phony baloney. Almost all of them are phony baloney emails. That's my honest opinion. Because they have to put in a few favorable ones so people don't realize that all the nasty ones are from the Jews too, you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see.
You know, just to cover so the people don't get the whole picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, looks like...
Look at Pablo, this internet is an American thing, and I believe that the U.S. government has more control over the internet than we're being led on.
Yeah, but they would not be able to control, inputs from other countries too.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't really know how it works. All I know is I don't trust those emails, you know.
All right.
I'm willing to use the internet as long as they allow these programs to go out, you know, unedited and intact. But I don't trust the email because it's an American invention, you know.
All right. There's a question here. It says, do you have any hero in the United States?
Do I have a hero in the U.S.?
Yes,
I do. My hero is Aldrich Ames, the spy who broke the CIA.
What's that?
Aldrich Ames.
Oh, yes.
The spy who broke the CIA. He's in prison now.
Yes, I remember.
He betrayed the CIA, and he betrayed all of the CIA agents over in Russia. A lot of them were executed because of him, they say.
Well, why is he your hero?
Because he screwed the CIA, he screwed the United States of America. And I hope the Russians will spring him from jail. What the Russians should do now, there are plenty of CIA rats in Russia.
Uh-huh.
They're always catching them, but that damn Yeltsin was letting them go free. They should catch a few CIA, American CIA rats in Russia. They should try them, convict them, send them to death. You'd say three or four CIA rats, American CIA rats, then just call up Clinton and say, look, unless you give us Ames back tomorrow, all these CIA rats we got, we're going to execute them in the morning. You have to play hardball with the United States. That's the only language they understand, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Malcolm X, he taught. He said, if somebody speaks English, you talk to him in English. If somebody speaks Spanish, you talk to him in Spanish. If someone speaks the language of violence, you have to talk to him in the language of violence. You have to talk to everybody in their own language, otherwise they don't understand what you're saying.
It's
America, the Jews who control America, only understand the language of violence. So you have to talk to them in their language.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you're talking to them in that language now?
Yeah. They only understand the language of violence and the threat of violence, bad publicity, which can lead to violence, you see?
Yeah.
They don't give a shit about morals and right or wrong. They laugh at that.
You know, you've been going down hard on the Jews and the United States. I'm surprised there are no reactions. Looks to me like you're waging a lonely battle.
Yeah, well, they're guilty as hell. And I think they really slipped up. They did not think I had these photocopies of the checks that I sent Ellsworth, you know?
Yes.
Because I'm sure That's why I didn't pay. No conspiracy. You see?
Yeah.
That was what he was going to say. You see, if I didn't have those photocopies of the checks, that was the plan. And they thought, I'll tell you why, the Jewish world government and thought I didn't have photocopies of those checks. I'll tell you why. You know why?
No.
Because I went to the bank, got these certified bank checks, sent to Ellsworth, but I never made copies at the bank. Usually when people give these checks, they say, oh, can you make a copy to the bank, and they'll give you a photocopy. But I didn't do that. I always took the check and went out to a copy store and made my own copy, you see?
Uh-huh.
So now the Jews, they control all these banks. They've got the cameras everywhere. They say, he should never make photocopies of the checks he sent to Ellsworth. He hasn't got the photocopies, probably, see?
So they thought you were not making copies of these things.
Yeah, right. You know, that was the point. And then Ellsworth had his spiel already. He thought that I was paying myself or somebody else was paying because I stopped sending him the money. See?
Uh-huh.
But once they saw I had the check, they said, holy shit. Maybe we shouldn't have grabbed Fisher's stuff because now he's got these goddamn checks and he's the best thing is just to shut up, let this thing blow over. Time is on our side. The more time goes by, it becomes ancient history, you know.
Yeah.
All right, dude. They're like laying low while the heat is on, just like the criminals they are, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's get back on that announcement that you made. How can you not pay your taxes when you don't take hold of them? I mean, your properties,
that's enough, Pablo. They robbed my most precious possession in storage, which took me a lifetime to put together, absolute lifetime. And they've shown, the U.S. government has shown they don't respect my property rights. Why should I throw good money after bad? They're going to grab this property in Florida eventually anyway. But even if they don't break it, I can't enjoy it. They want to put me in prison. But in any event, I'm doing this as a protest. You see? I want to emphasize that I feel very strongly about this robbery of myself, so I'm putting my Florida property where my mouth is, you know?
And your statement that you're not going to sell it, but you don't have possession of these things.
Excuse me, I catch that, Pablo?
Yes, you said you're not going to sell all your memorabilia, right?
I'm not going to sell my property in Florida.
All properties are
sold. I'm going to transfer it to somebody else.
Okay.
Because they've already robbed all my memorabilia and all my stuff in storage. It's just like a protest against that,
Do you have lots of properties in the United States?
No, that's all I have, actually, is those five lots.
Okay.
And they have a lot of sentimental value to me.
Yeah.
I got them from my mother, and she got them from her father, and so on.
All right.
Enough is enough. I was thinking about this for a year, how to handle this, but I just cannot in good conscience and send money. I have to look at myself in the mirror, keep myself respect. This is like a master beaches dog, and then with his hand, pounds them all over, and then you look at the hand that, beats you. It's too much,
Yeah, I understand.
It's too much.
Yeah. Here's Eugene for more questions, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Because you referred me to this article, before this interview. This one in Inside Chess, September 5, 1994, page 22. This is about an interview with Coach Toy. I think you wanted to, which part of the interview was it?
I just mentioned that, because he says basically what I've been saying about prearrangement. I've been saying for years that all these matches with Karpov and Kasparov and were prearranged, and even before that, I was there, all the matches between Karpov and Korchnoi were prearranged.
Okay, because I thought
he came right out and said it himself in this interview. He said,
you believe it?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a quote from Korchnoi from Inside Chess, issue numbers. This is September 5, 1994, Inside Chess. He says, do you know that my match against Karpov in Murano, 1981, was fully prearranged at the highest political level in the Soviet Union? This can be testified to by official documents of the KGB, the secret police of the Soviet Union. I would love to see those documents published.
That's incredible, huh? That's, they're very open with this. It was only you who's trying to, how you call this, expose this, but even Costello is
very funny, you see, for years, I had been telling my mom, all going way, way back, decades, that these Russian matches with each other are all prearranged, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, I consider this, fortunately, still to be a Russian Jew, you know? Anyway, I was telling her that these Korsakov Karpov matches were prearranged, the Karpov Kasparov matches were prearranged. Even my own mother didn't believe me. Even my own mom. It really hurt, but you know, when you're right, you're right, and I didn't give a damn, even if my mother didn't believe me. But the point is, I sent her a copy of this article, and she was furious. She says, they tricked me. She says, which paper do I contact? What TV station? What do I do? What do I do? She wanted to contact the whole world and tell everybody about this. Mom, it's not like that. The press, they've all known this all along. It's an open secret.
Yeah.
Who I contact? What do I do? What do I do? Mom, relax.
But it's incredible that
she became more gung-ho about the prearrangement than me when she saw this.
Yeah. But it's incredible that this Costello admitted that, which I cannot believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is what they call the CIA. They call this like a limited hangout. You see, the Jews have one eye on the future. They don't want it to be said later that they know it's going to come out, that all this stuff was prearranged, all these matches were prearranged. But they don't want it to be said that only Fisher was saying it. You see what I mean? Of course, Fisher himself said it. Fisher has no a distinction in that regard, you see?
But what's very funny with this interview is that after Wasby mentioned that expose, the next question was,
he said, okay, you are speaking terms with Karpov again. How is your relationship with Kasparov?
Yeah. Because if I was the interviewer, I said, can you speak more?
Imagine, Eugene, what if I gave an interview and I said, do you know that my match in 1972 with Spassky was prearranged at the highest levels of the CIA?
Of course, I
would love to see the CIA release those documents.
Of course, I would.
You think the interviewer wouldn't ask me another question about it? Come on.
Anyway, that's really funny.
Staged by the Jews. Inside Chess is a Jewish publication. This was well thought out, well planned. This statement by the dirty Jew Korchnoi. But it is true, nonetheless, that the match was prearranged. That's not the tip of the iceberg, Eugene. That's the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
All of Korchnoi's matches with Karpov were prearranged. The first match in Baguio was prearranged, and the match before that in 1974 when Karpov qualified to play me in the Kennedys, that was prearranged too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Korchnoi is a fantastic group, just like Kasparov and Karpov and all these other Russian Jew bastards.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, Bobby, going back to your mom, because you mentioned your mom in this interview.
Yeah.
Because you told me that I think you know even more reason now why they rob all your memorabilia and all your properties and beacons after your mom died.
This is true, Eugene. You know, when I was looking over that stuff we put on the internet, if you notice, in one of them, my mom was fasting until the American Chess Foundation gave the money to send a team to U.S. team to play in Leipzig.
Yeah.
You see, now I believe these cunning, dirty Jews, the Rothschilds, the Jewish World Government, they said, hey, wait, if we steal Fisher's stuff from storage before his mother dies, our pictures of what she's going to do is go on a hunger strike, demanding that Fisher gets all his, her son gets all his stuff back.
Well,
her mother being old and infirm and feeble, she probably would have died in short order from a hunger strike. And see, that would have left a kind of a bad taste in the world's view, you know what I mean?
Oh,
it would look too nice on the U.S. government and on beacons and on the dirty Jews, you see? Just wait till his mother passes away, you know.
Uh-huh.
My sister passed away too. I don't know, or was pushed away. I don't know if she passed away or was mother and the unit after my mom was born. They grabbed all my stuff, you see?
Yeah, because I'm sure your mom will gain worldwide sympathy, you know, if they had done this to you and your mom is around and then she made the...
Yeah, she knows what she would have done. I'll tell you, my mom was tough. I mean, she would have been picketing vegan. She would have been going to picketing what the White House, hunger strikes. Maybe, I don't know. She never was very violent, but maybe if she had the physical strength and the know-how, she just would have gotten a gun and gone over the beacons and blasted that filthy version of Linda Carter. You know, the general manager there, really.
Yeah.
You know, my mom was much tougher than me, you know.
Really?
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you have also referred me to this article by Larry Evans, Bobby, or this, in this,
Doesn't work, but oh, it's a shame, doesn't work. Then I suddenly...